I had the good fortune recently to be sitting at the table at a friend's house as he uncorked a vintage 1875 Madeira. It had been in the barrel for 119 years, bottled in 1994. A world of wonderful taste swirled around the palate, concluding with a serious nutty sweetness. Discussion about the durability of this beverage led to talk of its place in American history. My research took me to the City Tavern in Philadelphia, opened in 1773. In the early days of the United States, when Philadelphia was the capital, City Tavern was pretty much the place, often serving as a surrogate White House. Proprietor Walter Stabe has put great effort into duplicating the experience of the aristocrats and statesmen who dined there in the 1700s.
A bit of Madeira.
He explained that Madeira is just wine fortified with brandy.
Wine wouldn't preserve itself again for heat factors in those days, and so by infusing the brandy, it gives it life forever.
Stabe says Madeira was consumed in large quantities for several reasons.
It's one, it was tax-free. Second of all, it was a drink of the day. And thirdly, it was used for the toasts. So what happens is, for every toast, there's always a Madeira, maybe 2 ounces.
The thing is, says Stabe, colonists would start off toasting the queen and work their way down through everybody else. So by the end of the evening, to make 40 or 50 toasts was not uncommon. They drank a lot of Madeira. Another reason...
People had poor dentistry, bad teeth. It's almost like a mouthwash. George Washington is known to drink like 2 quarts a day. Betsy Ross, a couple quarts a day. It was served all the time. Anybody's house you came in, it was always there.
Perhaps the real reason Madeira became such a staple in the colonies, though, is the way it stands up to abuse. Gregory Moore, longtime sommelier at the famous Le Bec Fin restaurant and now proprietor of Moore Brothers Wine Company in Camden, New Jersey, says long ago barrels of Madeira were loaded onto sailing ships to make them more stable in the water.
They used to sail it around Africa, out and back, around the Cape. The theory was, and in part it's still... It goes on, not the sailing of it, but the abuse goes on, the storage of the wines in heated attics of the wineries for the purpose of accomplishing the same thing. Something you wouldn't do with table wine, but you accomplish a different beverage making Madeira that way.
That benefit from abuse made Madeira unnatural to face transatlantic voyages to the colonies. Beyond that, Moore says, Madeira's introduction to the Americas resulted first from its popularity in Britain, then from how it completed the circle with cargoes of rum and humans.
It fit very neatly into the triangle trade that involved slaves and Madeira and rum. So rum going in one direction, and rum and tobacco and all those things being produced on this side of the Atlantic going back, and slaves and Madeira coming in this direction. It was part of the commerce of the time.
Moore points out, however, that despite how much Madeira was consumed by the aristocrats in colonial America, the beverages of choice of the average people were somewhat less sophisticated.
They were, in fact, the traditional beverages that had been made in a northern agricultural community like Britain that lacked grapes in the first place. And those were essentially beer and ale and cider and perry. They were definitely made here. Apples and pears were very successful agricultural products in the North American colonies, as was grain. It was possible to make beers.
Back at Walter Stabe's City Tavern, Stabe maintains the food on his menu also has been thoroughly researched for authenticity. And for those who think the cuisine in 1776 wasn't that tasty...
Food wasn't tasty up in Boston and New York, because it came straight from England and from Ireland. The reason we have flavor in Philadelphia, the ships took the southern route via the West Indies. Puerto Rico, Cuba, Jamaica came through there. Obviously, they had secondary agenda, and are bringing human cargo, but bringing the rum, bringing the vegetables, bringing the fruits, and coming right here. 227 years ago, they had bananas and pineapple and mangoes here in the City Tavern. It wouldn't make it far inland, but here they got it because the sea captains brought it, you know.
After hearing how much drinking was done in colonial and revolutionary days, it's probably a good thing there was decent food to soak up some of that alcohol. I'm Bill Fantini, WHYY News.